Diabetes insights, breakthroughs, and innovators. The EASD TV podcast from the annual meeting of the European Association for the Study of Diabetes.
You're watching EASD TV. Now, here in Vienna, this is right in the centre of Europe. And the clue that this is a European organisation is, of course, in the name, the European Association for the Study of Diabetes. But increasingly, EASD has become a global event. And we were wondering what those people who come from very far from Europe think of EASD and why it's of value to them. And I'm delighted to welcome to our studio today Daisuke Yabe from Kyoto in Japan. You're very welcome. Thank you so much for coming. And why do you come to EASD?
So it's almost 15 years ago, that was my first EASD that happened in Vienna. And from that point, I'm very fond of coming and attending the EASD, presumably because the EASD always talk about differences and similarity of the diabetes phenotype between the East and the West. And the East means Asia. So in EASD, we oftentimes exchange idea about the diabetes phenotype or diabetes treatment, not only the Europe, but also the in Asia or in Japan. So I like that kind of exchanging the idea, similarity and the differences. So that's why I'm being here.
And we have a lot to learn.
Yes.
From each other. Mm. What's the big difference that you see between diabetes in Europe and diabetes in Japan?
From my experience with the previous discussions with the colleague in EASD, what we found, let's say the diabetes phenotype in Europe is oftentimes obesity and then very high insulin resistance. Yet in Asia, especially East Asia, like Japan, Korea, China, our diabetes is not necessarily the obese. And the phenotype is primarily characterized by beta cell dysfunctions. So those kind of difference is very much shared by the EASD and the AASD, Asian Association for the Study of Diabetes. And actually exchanging this idea will give us the hints of the further research how to improve the diabetes care in Asia.
So, yes, it gives you huge sort of cues for new research.
Right. And also the collaborations, research collaboration with the investigator in Europe is very beneficial for us in terms of doing the right research design or writing the good papers and especially the disseminating our ideas, not only Asia, but also globally. So I think the EASD colleagues always helps us to do a right science, right implementation of the diabetes care in Asia.
Now, you work particularly in stem cells.
Yes.
Tell me a bit about that, because that's one of the most exciting areas.
Oh, thank you very much.
At the moment. And we're seeing suddenly, I mean, I've been reporting on stem cells for a long, long time. And it's always been one of those things, it's going to happen soon, and it never has. Mm. How close do you think we are to islet transplants and using stem cells?
Thank you very much. So the islet transplantations has been conducted as a key therapeutic approach for people with the type 1 diabetes. However, in Japan or in Asia, the donor of the islet is pretty much limited. And we need to have some approach to circumvent shortage of the donor. So we actually went to the iPS cells, induced pluripotent cells, and actually, our colleagues in Kyoto University spent more than 10 years to develop the iPS-derived islet cells. And actually, we have started our clinical trials transplanting the iPS-derived islet cells called IPIC to the people with diabetes, brittle type 1 diabetes, and have been observing them not only the insulin secretions, but also the insulin dosage, as well as the hypoglycemia, so on and so forth. And it's been very successful.
So these are autologous. These are the person's own stem cells?
So we have the stock of the iPS cells in Kyoto University.
Ah.
And then use that stock, we make the iPS cells, the human iPS cell derived islet cells, but not from the patients.
Because that's always been the problem, that if you have autologous cells, of course, it's never going to be scalable. It's always going to be too expensive.
Right.
But so using this method, presumably it's got the potential to scale.
Yes. Of course, we still need an anti-immunosuppressant for the long-term period. However, we are also doing research to make these iPS-derived islet cells escapable from the immune systems, which might be a second generation or third generations. But to that end, we hoping that the islet transplantations, especially using the iPS-derived islet cells, will sort of cure the diabetes in future.
It's a fascinating area. And finally, are you seeing more people from Asia coming to the EASD meeting? Were you a lonely Japanese 15 years ago? You were one of the very few.
I suppose many Japanese scientists or diabetes specialists are very much keen about coming to the EASD. And despite of the COVID-19, the number of the Japanese participant, I believe, increasing. So we also expect the vice versa. So many EASD colleagues will visit Japan or visit Asia to further exchange their ideas about diabetes and diabetes care.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. And actually, that's one of the great strengths of EASD. It's networking and collaboration, because if we're going to have successful research on diabetes, it's certainly not going to be done in one country or one continent, but in the whole globe, with a huge cohort of researchers all working together. There'll be more from me soon. Bye for now.
Thank you for joining us on the podcast of the European Association for the Study of Diabetes. We hope you enjoyed today's insights. If you did, go ahead and hit subscribe, and you'll always stay up to date with the latest in diabetes research and discoveries. And if you'd like to dive deeper, you can find plenty more information at EASD.org.